Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Simon Peter is dead tired. He is utterly exhausted. He and the other future disciples have fished all night long and have nothing to show for it. I remember an all-nighter once in college. I pulled several. It was 4 a.m. I was still facing a blank computer screen with nothing to show for my efforts beyond an empty 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew and an empty can of honey roasted peanuts. Thankfully, inspiration finally struck at 5:15. But for Simon Peter and the disciples, today's story is not an amusing anecdote about an unproductive all-nighter. They were fishing at night, not because they had procrastinated, but because the nighttime was the best time to fish. And for them, fishing was not a hobby. It was their livelihood. It was their means of survival. There's a beautiful prayer at the end of Psalm 90 that Frank just read a moment ago. "Prosper for us the work of our hands." Such a beautiful prayer. But how frustrating when it seems like that prayer goes unanswered, when the work of our hands is not prospering. And it is at this moment that Jesus shows up. Peter and others are still cleaning the nets while Jesus asks if he can borrow their boat and use it as a pulpit. Peter obliges. At least this gives him an opportunity to put the boat to some productive use. Jesus finished the sermon, and then he suggests to Peter and his associates that they try fishing again. Now, Jesus is a great teacher and rabbi, but in all honesty, what does he really know about fishing? Presbyterian pastor and seminary president Craig Barnes points out that it's hardest for us to take orders from Jesus in those areas where we believe ourselves to be the experts. In his words, "We all have some area of life where we are the expert, an area where we have worked hard. We believe that Jesus is in control when it comes to all the churchy stuff, like the gospel, and believing that his words can change the world. But when it comes to something you know about, like taking care of children, dealing with your mother, or working in your office, and you hear all this talk about letting Jesus be the Savior, well, then you wonder if Jesus knows what he's doing. You think you had better be practical. When we separate Jesus' teachings from the areas of life where we believe that we are the experts, it could have the effect of turning worship into spiritual entertainment, a delightful distraction, where we sit by the shores and listen to Jesus' eloquent words on Sunday. But what are you going to do when Jesus asks if he can go to work with you tomorrow? My guess is that if work is going pretty well and you've got a net full of perfect children or you've got your fill of success, then you won't mind having Jesus around. But what if you, like Peter, have worked hard and it seems like you only have empty nets to show? In our life together as a church, we may think of ourselves as experts. We've been doing it for a while. And it seems like we've been fishing these waters for a long time. And we faithfully cast our nets and retrieve them for many years now. And it seems like we're catching fewer and fewer fish these days. A number of church historians have been saying that the church is in the midst of a great transition that will be every bit as transformative as the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. But because we are still in the middle of it, it's difficult to say how this new transformation will finally turn out. And others have said that the pandemic accelerated the trends we were already witnessing. In other words, we may not know yet where we are going, but apparently we're heading there faster and faster. And it seems like I've been hearing some version of this analysis for the last 30 years. And there's a part of me that wants to scream out, "You've been saying this for 30 years. When are you finally going to be able to tell us what this new emerging church is going to be like?" And what I hear in response is Jesus saying, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, that reference to deep water may have been a frightening reference for the early listeners. It might have reminded them of the waters of chaos at the very beginning of Genesis, or the chaotic waters of Noah's flood. It's as if Jesus, through the gospel writer Luke, is telling the church to cast its net into the chaotic waters of its present moment in history. In the words of one commentator, Jesus is telling the church to engage in mission even when the prospects for ministry are no more promising than they were for Simon Peter and his partners when they fished all night to no avail. To us and to all the future disciples, Jesus says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Peter replies, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And sometimes faith is simply a matter of saying to Jesus, "Yet if you say so." Apparently, Jesus has never heard that familiar cliche that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Except that this is different. Jesus is not telling them to fish the same shallow waters that they're used to fishing. Jesus is telling them to put out into the deep water. Don't keep fishing that same shallow, familiar waters in which your life is neatly compartmentalized and church is one weekly activity among many others. Instead, put out into the deep water in search of a faith and a spirituality that is all-encompassing and touches upon all dimensions of your life. When Simon Peter and the disciples let down their nets, the catch is so massive that they have to call for the backup boat to haul all of it back to shore. And at the very end, Jesus tells them that from that moment on, they will be catching people and not fish. That's one of the stories from Sunday school that I remember so vividly from my childhood. Jesus telling them, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men or fishers of people. And if you're used to that metaphor like I am, you might take it in stride. But if you're not used to it, it might sound like a slightly ominous metaphor. Like, why would our metaphor for church growth be one where we catch fish, kill them, gut them, and clean them? And it does sound ominous if you're the fish. But in the original Greek, there's a nuance that often gets lost in translation. The verb for catch is the verb used to denote rescue from peril, rescue from the peril of death. It's not so much about the capture of hunted animals. And so those caught in the nets are not dead fish, but people who have been rescued from the peril of death and who are fully alive. The mission of the church is to reach out and help rescue people, all the ones in need of rescue. In the words of Craig Barnes, We have a risen Savior with us whose dreams for you are a lot greater than filling up your own empty nets. He dreams that you'll spend your life catching people, helping them to see what is so difficult to see for themselves, that God is with us. God is with those in the poor neighborhoods who struggle to keep life together. God is with those in the wealthy gated communities who struggle to keep their souls together. God is with those in every corner of the world whose lives are a daily struggle against violence and starvation. And God is with those of us who are settling for work without mission and life without passion. The good news is that God will not settle for the injustice of this world or for the lousy deals we have made with life so easily. The invitation for the church is to cast our nets in the deep water, to figure out what a mission of rescue looks like in our own context. A few months ago, the session studied a book by a youth ministry professor and a theologian in his own right named Andrew Root. And his main idea in his book was that the church shouldn't concern itself too much with its perceived loss of resources, such as membership losses or loss of money. Instead of worrying about resources, instead, the church should recommit itself to being the place where we are open to God's encountering presence. It could begin as simply as sitting around the table at fellowship hour shortly and asking each other, how is God saving your life right now? Or what is saving your life right now, and how do you think God might be involved? Or when you pray, what do you sense that God is telling you right now? And if you're still waiting on God, what is that like? How does that impact your faith? And whether this happens at fellowship hour or in intentional small groups or in conversations before or after worship, these are the kinds of things we might invite ourselves to consider. Because when we are willing to go into the deep water together, there is simply no way of knowing how far the ripples on the surface will reach. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.